Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The schools down in southern Ontario, they're the whole pushback, man. We're going 2 more weeks of virtual learning at a minimum, and then we'll see where it takes us. But I had my daughter at home with me yesterday. I didn't bring it up on the show, but she was here, just in my room.
She was sitting beside you.
Yeah,
I know.
Just sitting beside you. It's so distracting.
Somebody snapped a photo because I think she, like, jumped behind you and then jumped back, and you were actually in mid-sentence, and I think you gave her a bit of a horse eye.
But, oh, I gave her a couple, yes, because at one point she was under the desk, and I'm like,
I saw you. I can tell when you're giving the side eye, and you were kind of flicking your hand, like, go over there, like, go there.
We had an incident. Oh, you had to go to do the World Juniors, and I don't, who was it that, we had Craig on, and Hayes, you had to drop for a bit. There was something going on.
Oh, that's right. That was earlier this week. It was, again, because my wife works 2 days a week, so
yeah.
I'm at home with my 5-year-old, right?
Right.
So between 4 and like 6 o'clock until my wife gets home, she's just down here with me. Like, I set up a desk, I got the iPad, things to color.
Yeah.
And she had to go to the washroom, and of course that was at 4:59 and 45 seconds. She's like, I gotta go and you gotta come with me. And every parent's been through that, and I'm like, you don't understand. I can't do that right now. Like, I'm back. And Noodles is Garth Algar because I was in here.
And I was. Like, and what was that internal text? Was like, the grappler just goes, it's all you. You got this or
up.
Something.
It's
and luckily it was Craig. I mean, I could BS with Craig, but like, you know, ins
I had to
and
run
outs.
Up there because I could hear her. She was screaming. I'm like, I have to go get her and then bring her back down. And then
wait till your kids get a little bit older. They start like other kids say their dad's like, I don't know, doctor or whatever. I've had my kids, like, they're just around when the show's on, and they hear, like, Jerry's and recording of Jerry's, and I think they just look at you when you're done and put the headset, then just like, what the hell kind of job is going on here? They just must think we're goons.
It just doesn't make sense, because she was down here yesterday, and in my peripheral view, I can see her staring at me at times, which is really a strange...
It really is. She's like, look at this buffoon dad of mine. What the hell is he doing?
And I'm yelling about, you know, Austin Matthews on the penalty kill, and it's like, what is happening in here? Does it even make sense what you're doing right now? You're staring at an iPhone 11. It's been here for 10 months, and you're yelling and screaming with your buddies on air.
Exactly.
And that's it. But we all go through it, right? Everyone, I was talking to someone today, and they've got a, you know, they own a business, and they're like, well, I guess we're home, and we know that the kids are going to be home, and everyone's going through it, and everyone's trying to make it work, and you don't have an option. There's nothing you can do. The kids are going to be home, and it's just a matter of when they go back, if they go back, how it's going to look, and it's tough, man. Everyone's making adjustments on the fly. It's
you
crazy.
Have to
we're
do it as a
this.
Parent. I mean, my kids have been at home the whole time, and I've got my office door locked, but when on their way to the bathroom, they bang on the door and wave through the glass. So I'll be mid-sentence, and I can see this set of eyes staring through
just
the glass.
Staring at you.
Waving.
Just peering at you. Like,
they
what's
have
your
no
problem?
Idea that we're actually, like, working.
No understanding of it. Yeah, because you wouldn't. Like, with us three, we're laughing. We're talking about sports or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing I'd be talking about with my neighbor if we were outside having a beer or something. So, I don't think it registers. My daughter's 5. She's like, this can't be work. Like, there's no way what you're doing right now is contributing to society. But I think we are. We're trying to, you know, we're plugging along here, and it's a good time in the sports world, right? Like, generally speaking, early January is the dog days of winter, but it's no longer the case with the NHL starting up on Wednesday. We got the NFL playoffs beginning this weekend, and it's going to be awesome.
You know what I meant to bring up is all of this talk, I mean, throughout Canada, the Canadian teams and all that, especially the Leafs and what Matthews is capable of and everything, like, it's all great. Great topics. We haven't talked about goaltending barely at all. Like,
it's so important.
Like, I, you know, obviously, I'm going to be talking about goaltending for the preview show and stuff like that, and you know how the tandems look. Like, I, you know, Jack Campbell's a good goaltender. Like, he's going to get games.
That's the key, Jamie. The tandems, because everyone knows how the goaltending system goes, or the goaltender analytics about back to backs and heavy workloads. So. Jack Campbell or whoever it is, they're damn important, and they better play good because they can cost you too. As much as a starter can cost you, if you're a guy that's going in there to play 10 or 15 games, maybe 20, you better you got to do your job. You got to be good.
You do, and here's the thing that I'm going to say is a little bit of an outlier, is the way that the schedule is set up, you're going to be in the same city for a couple games, potentially, and even if you play back-to-back. We saw starters being able to do that in the play. Now, I know it was the playoffs, but it was the bubble. And in talking to goaltenders that were in the bubble, all they did was play, go back, have a bite to eat, and then go to their hotel room. So it was, they said, yeah, I had no problem playing the next day. Like, there's no borders. There's no getting in at 3 o'clock in the morning to the next city and, you know, travel delays, all of that. So that might be something that's going to factor in as well if you have a starter that you want to run with.
I think that's a really important point. And I think that'll apply, like Winnipeg in particular. Hellebuck might play 43 games.
He's 26 years old. He can play every night if he had to.
He might. You know, he was not going to play every single game, but he's going to play a fair amount. And we'll see. You know, we'll see what that means with Montreal, with Jake Allen there, with Campbell here in Vancouver. They've got a tandem where I'm not sure who is technically the number one, Holtby and Demko. So, we'll see. We'll get into that more with Eddie O a little bit later in the hour. But it is, what do they call it, a super wild card weekend? Super wild. What a very creative term to hype up this weekend, where we have six games in total, three on Saturday, three on Sunday. It's going to be awesome. And you know him. He's been covering the NFL for a long, long time. He's been on the show before. You can find his podcast, Half Forgotten History. Here is Trey Wingo back on Overdrive. How you doing, Trey?
Good, guys. How are you? Yeah, Super Wild Card Weekend. What an awful name.
Yeah, super, brutal. Very, like someone got paid like $1.5 million a year to come up with that.
We added a seventh seed. I don't feel super about that.
No.
You know, I mean, I'm happy for more football, but don't tell me it's better.
Right. Exactly. And when everyone, like every year we do the same thing. It's an evergreen topic, and it's a topic I love, and I know it's a topic you love. You know, which QB has the most pressure on them to perform this weekend? And it's there on a platter. Is there anyone in particular that you're going to circle back on this year and you say, that's my quarterback with the most pressure?
No, because they all have pressure.
Right.
I mean, it's all like, you know, I guess you could excuse Brady, Rodgers, and Mahomes. Although you could make the argument, if you wanted to, that there's probably more pressure on Rodgers than anybody because he only has one Super Bowl and he's at the back end of his career and this might be one of the better teams he's ever had. So, I mean, if you wanted to go down that road that we always deal with those cards, I guess that's the way I would look at it. They're the number one seed in the NFC. Mm-hmm. Home field advantage means something at Lambeau. So, yeah, maybe there is more pressure on him.
Trey, a lot of people in our building, they might be fans of other teams in the NFL, but I think they got a soft spot in Buffalo, the close proximity. How confident are you that we were just talking earlier? I got a feeling that they're going to do some real damage. Where are your thoughts on them?
Well, look, I've set my preseason prediction was the Chiefs over the Saints, and I'm not wavering on that, although I see the Saints as much more flawed, obviously, with the injuries to Drew and how he's just not played well. Mm. But at the end of the day, as good as Buffalo has been, and my God, they've been amazing. Like the last three games, they scored 142 points. I mean, let's just think about that. They scored 142 points over their last three games of the regular season. But when push comes to shove, someone's going to have to tap out Kansas City. And I know they sort of just messed around all season, and they didn't really play very well down the stretch, but they did what they needed to do to get in position to do something that hasn't been done since Super Bowl 39. 39, which is repeat as a champion. So we're talking 16 years. It's hard. It's really hard. And it's the mental drain more than anything else, because I think the Chiefs know how good they are. They just wanted to get there. Buffalo is terrifying to Kansas City. Josh Allen has been such an amazing leaper in terms of his ability to go from where he was. The last 2 years of his career, his first 2 years, he completed about 53% of his passes, which was either last or 30th the last couple of years. He's up to 63%. He's in the top 10. And it's a remarkable job, not only by him fixing some mechanical things, but an amazing job by the organization, by Brandon Beach, Sean McDermott, and Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator. They realized what they had, and they went out and got a bunch of great talent to work around it. Stephon Diggs rewrites the record book for Bills wide receivers. Cole Beasley for 2 years has afforded him very easy underneath completions to keep the chains going. You get a guy like Dawson Knox, the tight end that they drafted a few years ago. I mean, what the Bills have done is the template for every organization in the NFL, and so many fall short of it. Draft a guy you believe in and surround him with talent and good coaching, and good things will happen. And if you said your mortgage on the line, I'm riding with Kansas City until someone beats him. But it would not shock me if that team was Buffalo.
No, it wouldn't shock me either the way they've been playing. They have been outstanding. We're chatting with Trey Wingo. His podcast, Half-Forgotten History, can be found wherever you download a podcast. Speaking of, you know, young stud quarterbacks, the Deshaun Watson rumors, I think it was Mike Florio that started peddling this morning, that he's heard that maybe Watson would want out. And a lot of people have jumped on almost immediately saying he can want what he wants, but Houston, there's no chance they could ever contemplate trading this kid. Not a kid anymore. He's a legit you know, pro and a stud.
And I told you if he wants out, he's going out.
Well, it would mark kind of a new era, would it not? There have been examples over the years, but this is not like the NBA. This is not like other leagues where star players just decide I've had enough and I want to move on, and that's what happens. That's not the way the NFL is operated. So, you know, if there's truth in this where for whatever reason Watson wants out, like how do you handicap the opportunity of that actually ever coming to fruition?
Well, before this season, I never would have told you they would have traded DeAndre Hopkins. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I still can't believe they did it. And it's funny, right? They just signed Nick Caserio from the Patriots to be their general manager after going 2 years without a GM, and they made him the third highest paid GM in the league. So let me get this straight. You went as an organization for 2 years thinking a GM wasn't important, and now you think it's so important you're going to make him one of the top three paid GMs in the NFL. Boy, did you guys screw that up.
Right.
You know, I mean, at least they're admitting it. You know, it's what might make this a possibility, and I would never do it. I tweeted this today. If they trade Deshaun Watson after trading away DeAndre Hopkins, the Texans should be relegated. You know, they should go down a league.
They should.
Like we do in English Premier League soccer. But the problem for the Texans is they're still on the hook for a lot of DeAndre Hopkins money. They're still on the hook for a lot of J.J. Watt money, and they just paid Deshaun Watson. They don't have draft picks because they gave those away to Miami in the Laremy Tunsil trade. If you are really thinking about, you know, it's like a house. If you think the bones are good and you want to strip it down to the studs, you trade away Deshaun Watson. But good luck finding that quarterback again. And the other thing that I'm happy with about the season Deshaun Watson has had is it's finally wiping away for everyone to see the argument that a quarterback's wins and losses matters. I think we can all agree that Deshaun Watson had an amazing season. He was phenomenal, and the team went 4-12. That ain't on him. That's on the other guys. And you know, I'm hopeful that we can finally get away from this narrative. Well, he has the most wins, and he's won this. No, wins are team achievements. Wins are organizational achievements. Losses are team achievements. It's not a one-person guy that does it. And Deshaun Watson and the brilliance of his season is living proof of that.
Trey, you just mentioned J.J. Watt, and we were discussing him last week. He seems like everybody in Houston loves that guy, but do you have any kind of inside scoop on what his teammates think of him? It seems like when trouble comes around, he seems to love pumping his own tires, saying how awesome he is, showing up to the facility first and blah, blah, blah. Do you have any kind of inside track on what his teammates think of him?
I think they like him. And look, I'm going to tell you, I have a relationship with JJ, and I could be absolutely biased by that, but I've never found him to be a phony.
Okay.
I have found him to be what he is. His little rampage a couple weeks ago about, if you don't want to do this, you shouldn't be here. You know, I loved it. And the NFL Films crew did a great job of the final game last week of him walking off the season. The camera was behind him, so I don't know if he could actually know it was there or not, but they caught him saying to Deshaun, I'm sorry, we wasted one of your years.
But don't you think that was kind of planned,
that's
Trey, where he's like,
he knew that was behind him. Like, that's what it felt like.
I can't say that. I can't. Yeah. Maybe if you've seen other footage. I can't. Is it possible? Absolutely. But there's no way I can say definitively, oh, he knew the camera was there and that's why he said it. Having spent time with him, that's the way he is. I can promise you that. And I know it does rub some people the wrong way, and I'm not going to tell them they're wrong for it. That's just not been my experience with him.
Okay.
Do you where do you see his future going? Because if this is if they're taking a further step back, which I'm not sure that's possible. I mean, they won four games. They're handing the third overall pick to Miami. So I don't know how much they can improve this offseason. You know, there was chatter about J.J. Watt being available come the trade deadline. Maybe they'll let him go and pursue a Super Bowl somewhere else. I'm a Packer fan. I know his connect. He's from Wisconsin. You know, could you see that being a part of his future, like him moving on or them moving on from him? And if so, you know, where could you see it going with J.J. Watt in the future?
I would see that as more of a possibility than giving up on a franchise quarterback in his prime, right? Doesn't that make more sense?
Of course.
If there are cap concerns, and by the way, the cap could be lowered this year for the first time in the salary cap era because of the lack of ticket revenue and all that kind of thing, even though we all know that's a ruse because the NFL is about to sign another massive NFL deal. And this just in, this past season, of the top 100 things on television, 69 of them were NFL games. So they're not going to get shorted here. Let's be clear about that. But they'll sell it as that. You know, if you're trying to lessen your burden on the cap, it makes much more sense to me to move on from J.J. than it would be to move on from a quarterback in his prime.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree with that. And I could see that being a part of the thought process. And J.J. Watt's connected there, but he may be looking for a fresh start as well. And if he got out, you know, there's a long history of guys kind of at the end of the road who go somewhere and make a big impact. And I know he'd be received well in Green Bay. If it was Green Bay,
they'd love him.
They'd love him.
No question.
Yep, they'd love it. The podcast is Half Forgotten History. He is Trey Wingo. It's always great of you to take time. Trey, we'll do it again down the road. Enjoy Super Wild Card Weekend.
That's Wild Card Weekend with a 7 seed, but I'll enjoy the hell out of it. Thanks,
guys. It's going to be fun. See you, Trey. There he is, Trey Wingo. Super Wild Card Weekend. Washington,
Tampa.
Thank
God Tampa. I didn't tee off on J.J. Watt.
I mean, he did say, well, listen, but he said, it's your opinion. He's like, yeah, I'm biased because I have a relationship with him. I tend to agree with you. Oh, I think he's a phony, and I think he's a hero. And that bothers me because, yeah, he's a fantastic player and he's done a lot of great things for charity and for the city of Houston. I get that. But I don't like the, you know, things go south. It's like, hey, I did my thing. You know, I'm working hard. Look at me.
And I found it shocking, Jamie, how
he knew the camera was there.
Like, how does Trey, who's been at ESPN for a long time, who knows all the ins and outs of where the cameras are, not know that that was done on purpose? Like, come on.
But he's given him the benefit of the doubt because he has seen things that we haven't. We're not.
Jamie, that's like me walking behind you, watching you sucker a guy in the face and then just saying, well, I didn't see that.
But what you would say, no, but what you would say is, I know Noodles, he's a good guy. There's a reason why he suckered that idiot. That's basically
whatever.
What
I just find it bizarre for Trey to not, like, he knows he did it on purpose. It was.
Well, and also you would think that, as I said earlier, the message would have been going the opposite way. Like, J.J. Watt's the elder statesman that just threw away one of his final years of his career.
Yeah.
You know, why is he apologizing to Deshaun Watson? Watson's getting paid.
Kidding.
Watson's 27 years old. He's got a long tenure ahead
like
of him.
Like, J.J. Watt was some kind of stud second-year player saying, sorry, we pissed one away.
Sorry, buds. Like, this, it's that would be like Joe Thornton going up to Mitch Marner and being like, hey, sorry about this year, Mitch. I mean, that's on me, dude.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think there's different ways to go about that. He could have stood up in the dressing room and had that same speech. We just didn't need, he didn't need everyone to hear it. Why he wanted everyone to hear it is because he wanted to separate himself from that. A lot of times he's doing that for himself. He's not doing that for the good of the team.
No
kidding.
Why
would you go out and, why would you take that public? I know people say, like, that's old school and things should be left behind closed doors. That's not the way anymore. But some things are. A veteran guy standing up and giving heck to everyone. You know,
I think that still happens. You know, like
I think it still happens.
I'm curious again in the Leaf room, like Joe Thornton, he's a newbie, but I don't know if he's a yeller and screamer. I don't know what exactly his tone is in the room, but I could sense. I do think there will be a sense of kind of responsibility towards a guy like Thornton. Like, we got to. It's pressure that comes with it. Like, he's been in the league for 23 years or whatever. He's never won a cup. You know, we got to try to get one for him. You know,
right?
And it doesn't mean you're going to play harder necessarily, but it might be something that could weigh on you.
No, what it does is it gets people's attention. I remember Gary Roberts walking into our locker room in Carolina. It's just a different vibe. And it's not like the party's over type vibe, but you know that this guy's all business, and you don't want one of your first interactions to be with him. You don't want to be that first guy in the team where he pulls you aside and says, you're an ass clown, and we need to smarten up here. You just say, okay, let me just, you want to impress the guy. You want you want him to call his buddies and say, yeah, I met Jeff O'Neill. He works hard, love him, blah, blah, blah. You don't want him calling, because in hockey, in sports, everybody talks to everybody. They've got former teammates on other teams, and you just place the call, what's so-and-so like? And you don't want to be that guy where it's like, this guy's a joke. You just don't want it. So it just changes the vibe.
You're right, and they have that aura around them where you don't want to disappoint them. Like, I played with star players, and I knew I wasn't even close to as good as them. So I wanted to have my best for them. And day in and day out, I would feel guilty if I saw a guy like Al MacInnis riding the bike for an hour after practice. That guy's playing, 30 minutes tomorrow or the next day. They set the tone, and I could see Joe not having to be vocal, but the way he conducts business, the same way that John Tavares does. He's a quiet guy, but is an absolute pro. Patrick Marleau was that guy a couple of years ago where, quiet. By all accounts, and again, I can't verify this, Jason Spezza stood up a couple times in the dress room last year and was vocal. And it kind of leaked out like, that's a guy who's a happy-go-lucky guy, but he's sitting there at 35 years old going, knock it off here. We're better than this. And you listen to it.
And he's desperate, too. Like, he's been in the league for almost 20 years. He'll be 38 this year, and he's only got so many more kicks at the can. Spezza, Thornton. I think that is a factor anyway. Eddie Olczyk coming on. We'll ask Eddie about that.
Sure.
Some developments out of Brooklyn as well. It sounds like Kyrie Irving will not play tonight. Personal reasons.
Oh.
Steve Nash said he doesn't know what the personal reason is, and he reached out to him and never heard from him, I guess. So they don't know when he's coming back, when he's playing again. Who knows? I mean, it piques your interest because of who it is. The thing is, in the era we're living in, we're like, okay, what is it? What is going
right.
on? Is it,
you hope
is
he's
it,
all right.
Is it yeah, our well, inf- yeah, like, do we – do we deserve this information? Is it necessary information? But because it's Kyrie Irving, you're like, okay, what is going on now? Like, the story always seems to come back to him. But, I guess we'll track that and we'll see. And if it's one game, it's one game. But if he's gone for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, who knows? I mean, that's kind of strange that the head coach is reaching out and you just never hear from the guy.
I hope everything's okay, but there's the part of you thinking that Kyrie just wants this situation because everybody's saying the name Kyrie.
Well,
there's just that element to it that follows him around.
Without knowing what it is, I don't think we should reach any conclusion on what's going on with the guy, but it is.
That's always in the back of your head.
Yeah, it's
because,
strange.
You know why?
Personal reasons. I'm not telling you what it is, and I'm not going to get back to your head coach.
And he can't reach out to the head coach. He can't.
Right. You know why we think that? Because last week before the game, the guy's walking around with incense, flashing it around on the court.
He's been saying some things that make you kind of wonder what's going on there. So, we'll see. We'll see if there's any more developments between now and tip-off. And there's the latest for Kyrie and the Nets. And we know Durant's not playing. And so it's a different scene with the Brooklyn Nets right now. Eddie Olczyk coming up. Our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Off night for the Raptors, back in action against Sacramento. 1-6 on the season. Not good. Not good for the Raps. But there's a lot of not good teams out there in the NBA right now. And, there's still some time. If you're holding out hope, you really have to be an optimist right now that they're going to figure this out. But last night, they were chasing that game all night. Siakam had himself a quality game, was much more aggressive, got into the paint, was much more aggressive around the rim. All good. Carry that over. That's got to continue. But you need some depth. You need some perimeter defense, and you need some wins.
It's one of the trends of bad teams, Brian. It's just one performance is wasted, and then the next night he's nowhere to be found, and nobody else could do the job. But then maybe Kyle Lowry has a performance. It's just Ananobi might do it the night after that, but they just can't put it all together.
You need it all together consistently. And now, because you're so far behind the eight ball, you need it for like a long run. You need a 10 game stretch here where you go 8-2 and you figure your life back out. But We'll see. We'll see what happens moving on with that road trip. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. And we're less than a week away from opening night. Puck drop in January. I love it. And here is one of our favorites, longtime NHLer, former Maple Leaf, and you know him from the NHL and NBC. Here is Eddie Olchuk. Eddie, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too.
You as well.
You getting fired up here? I mean, we are. It's usually the dog days of January, but it's go time come next Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, coming out of the bubble and then really not knowing, you know, what was going to take place, but seeing the NFL get off and in play and, yeah, have some blemishes and potholes and what have you, and seeing baseball and, you know, knowing the NBA was kicking off, around Christmas time, was just, you know, hoping that we could drop the puck at some point. And it's pretty exciting, and hopefully we can all enjoy the entertainment aspect with all due respect to what's going on in the real world, and just try to forge ahead and know it's entertainment. It's not the real world, but our little world is it's got a little smile on it right now because we're going to drop the puck in a couple of days.
Eddie, there's been some talk in Toronto of Austin Matthews possibly killing some penalties. To what degree, I'm not sure. Yeah. Do you ever see him, or do you think you'll ever view his game? I think he's known as a real dangerous goal scorer right now, but do you think you could ever describe him and talk about him as one of the game's all-around best players?
Oh, I think the sky's the limit for him, O-Dog. I do. I love Austin Matthews. I think he's so... He's such an intelligent player. When doing the games or watching the games that the Leafs play in, I like to see what he does without the puck. I like to watch the anticipation. I like to see how he reads a play and how it develops. And I think when you give a player like that more responsibility, now whether it's, you know, throwing him out there and for the second unit, depending on the score, depending on the situation, if you could rotate him in and out, he's going to shut down a lot of plays. You can't worry about him blocking a shot. You can't worry about him taking one in the ankle. I mean, you know, look at these 56. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. Like, to me, I'm almost looking at it. The first 20 games are more important this year than maybe the last 20 games because you can't both. 4-14 in 2 or whatever, you know, like, I mean, so I'm looking at it from that aspect of how important it is to really, really get off to a good start. And a guy like Austin Matthews can put, I don't want to say fear, but when you're on a power play, and O-Dog, you made a living on the power play. Like when you would see Mario, or you'd see, you know, world class players out there killing. You're like, holy cow! You know what I mean? Like, there's a
get your attention
on there, right?
Get
and,
your
and
attention.
That's something, you know, you, it does. It is an attention getter. So, for me, I think it takes his game to a whole nother level. I think obviously, I think he's a super intelligent player, and he can make things happen. And look at, I mean, more ice time for your best players. That's going to bode well for the rest of the team. So I'm excited to see it. And again, time, place, schedule, you know, you're going to need everybody. But when you put your best players in those situations or give them more of a rope, I think that'll take his game to another level if he certainly gets an opportunity to be a part of those meetings and get out on a penalty kill when appropriate.
Eddie, I don't want to date you, but were you playing in the league when, we had the divisions where there was a lot of interdivision play and those big rivalries?
Yes, Jamie, yes.
Just go ahead and date him.
At the beginning of your career, that's when...
The old Smite division.
Exactly. Yeah. You're playing in the Adams, I believe. And, like, when you're playing the same teams over and over, and we're going to see that here, within a week, is it just natural that these rivalries develop, or is it, a bad hit, a bad play, all of a sudden the blood gets boiling? It just seems like it's natural that it's going to develop into a rivalry, and there'll be some tough nights where because you play that team over and over again.
Jamie, I can't wait. I can't. I mean, it is
it is throwback. I mean, I played in the old Norris division, the old Chuck Norris division, for many, many years, and you know what the other guy had for dinner, you know what he had for lunch, and you know a little bit more than maybe you want to know, but I think it's going to be incredible. I think it's going to be just absolutely the intensity and how awesome it's going to be for the game. And look, I mean, this is obviously it's really, you know, we've never seen anything like this. So no train, you know, no games, no practice games, no exhibition games, whatever you want to call them. You're going in there and you're dropping the puck, and you only got 56 games to get ready for to win one of the top four spots, on whether it's one of, you know, four out of seven up, you know, north of the border where you guys are, or it's, you know, half the division and a 3-year down in the States. Like, you got to get ready, and you're right. It is going to be nasty. I think it's going to be entertaining. And, I can relate, because I remember those times when you play a 7 o'clock game in St. Louis, and then you turn around and you get on a plane, and then you would play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. And you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm about, let's see, I'm 50, well, I'm 54. Yeah, I feel like I'm 54 when I'm 50 years old. And, but that's, I can't wait for just to, you know, to see the guys out there and how hard the, you know, the league has worked to get us to this stage. And look at the, you know, look at, knock on wood here, let's hope that we can play all the games and everybody stays healthy. But look, we, you know, the virus is, it does not discriminate, and, you know, we're going to have some bumps, but just to see that type of intensity within those divisions, I think is going to be great. And look, if you, and Jamie, you can speak to this because you played the position a long time. The pressure on the goaltender is even more so now to start this season, to me, is something I'm going to keep a real eye on. And I look at teams around, you know, the league and within divisions, and the teams that have proven goaltenders and have a, you know, a great 1-2 punch, and also some teams that, you know, may have the weakest goaltending in the division. I mean, I look at a team like Edmonton and go, well, in my opinion, they're not exactly a slam dunk to make the playoffs. You know, they're, you know, losing Klefbom obviously is a huge loss. I saw them play in the playoffs last year against Chicago, and it wasn't even close. They couldn't defend. I mean, they couldn't check their hat. I mean, it was not pretty. Now you could say, okay, well, just like back in the, back in the early 80s, mid 80s, Brian, you know this, that was in my era. If you got five against the Oilers, well, they were just going to get 8 or 9 and they were going to win. I mean,
that's right.
Like, what? But I don't, you know, good. Can Connor, McDavid, and Draisaitl and Barry and guys like that, I mean, can they win game 6-5? I mean, that's just my opinion. I look at Edmonton and go, boy, oh boy, like, you know, they got to get off to a really good start, because when I look at the goaltending across across Canada, I go, you know what? I don't see them being anywhere in the top six. So it'll be really interesting to see. But I think the goaltending early is, you know, you got to get off to a good start, and you can't be chasing in such a short season.
Eddie, I don't know if you're on Twitter. There's a lot of stupid stuff floating around.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Good for you.
Well,
smart life choice.
A lot of it's stupid, and you just keep scrolling. But something caught my attention a couple days ago, and it was from a guy, I think he was a hockey guy, and it said, now is the time for Buffalo to place a call about Patrick Kane. The Chicago Blackhawks are in a rebuild. Who knows what's going on with that organization? Do you ever see something like that possibly happen, or it's just regardless of what the team is doing, Patrick Kane is going to be playing for the Chicago Blackhawks?
Yeah, you know what, old dog? I mean, I think any time that I think about something like that, regardless if it's Patrick Kane or, you know, world-class players in specific organizations, you know, I mean, look, we saw Tom Brady leave the Patriots. We saw Zdeno Chara just recently leave Boston. And you know, and obviously he played, you know, in Ottawa and the Islanders before that. But I think you know where I'm going. And ultimately, is everybody go, and it's the go-to, and it's an easy one to go to, is if, you know, if 99 can be dealt, then
right.
I think, you know, everybody has a price range. But, I'm not sure. To answer your question, I'm not sure. you know, kind of how, you know, how all this is going to play out. I mean, yeah, they are in a rebuild and they're trying to go younger and, you know, they had Robin Leonard and Corey Crawford last year as their goaltenders, and is good as a 1-2 punch, in my opinion, from the time until they traded Leonard to Vegas, as good as a 1-2 combination there was in a National Hockey League. And Chicago was in seventh place in a 17 division and was 12th place in a 15 team conference. And they've gone, you know, they've gone young. I mean, they're giving Malcolm Subban an opportunity. They got Colin Delia here, Kevin Lankinen. And so, you know, their goaltending is not proven by any stretch, but they're going young, and, you know, they've got some injuries they're dealing with. Nylander's hurt. Kirby Dach obviously got hurt at the World Juniors. And if I could, I mentioned the World Juniors, and I'll go back to that if we have time with Chicago. But and then also Taves, obviously, Jonathan Taves is out with the illness. But would you guys argue that Bowen Byram will probably be a an all-star at some point in the National
Hockey League? Oh, yeah. He looks like an absolute stud.
How good was he? Like, I had heard prior to the draft that there were quite a few people that compared him to Scott Niedermeyer. And I'm like, holy cow, if you could be half Scott Niedermeyer, you're going to probably play in 3 or 4 All-Star games and you might be a Hall of Famer.
He reminded me, Eddie, of a lot of Duncan Keith, the way he skates and controls the game.
I was just going to say that, old dog. I was just going to say it. He said, like, when I saw him, at times when I watched him play, I said, man, did he shut down that play like Duncan Keith? And then then all of a sudden he'd be shot out of the cannon. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he had that forehand, backhand shovel there that went off the post. I think it was in the second period, but and hit the post. Like, I saw combinations of those two guys. And look, the guy hasn't played a shift in the National Hockey League. And, you know, I mean, I'm excited to watch him. Oh, by the way, yeah, they need more young defensemen that are superstars. Yeah, Cale Makar is there, too. So,
no kidding.
Hell of a 1-2 punch. Hell of a 1-2 punch there in Colorado. So, but getting back to the Kane thing, I mean, look, I'm not sure, but, hey, at the end of the day, they showed their hand, that being the Blackhawks, and they're in a rebuild, and they're going to give a lot of young players an opportunity. Unfortunately, you know, Kirby Dach's out for a while, and Nylander, had his ups and downs last year, but he's going to be out for a period of time. But, you know, they're going young, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But like I said, hey, if 99 could be traded, then I think anybody would be foolish to sit there and say that, you know, there's no deal that, anybody wouldn't take for a particular player, because the greatest player of all time was able to move around a couple of times.
With Eddie Olczyk, well, you mentioned Zdeno Chara moving on, and I was just looking up the Capitals schedule while we were talking, and they're sharing this division with Boston. They play them 8 times, 4 back-to-backs. So could you imagine, this guy has made you feel like the toughest team in the world for about 15 years.
And I remember saying this. Kill you.
I remember saying this last year. Like, there are guys that have played a lot tougher than maybe they should have because Big Z was kicking around in Boston. Now, like, how is this going to play out? Because you know he's not going to take it easy on him, nor would you expect it. He's not going to be cheap or, you know, greasy or anything like that. But can you imagine having a guy like Zdeno Chara and saying, I got to play this guy 8 times in the next, like, 3.5 months, 4 back-to-backs, and he might be sour with the organization a little bit.
Yeah, right, yeah. And hello, Pasta, Bergy, and Marchand, right?
Right.
I mean, that's going to be the matchup. So, I mean, it is great. I mean, I get it. I'm lucky for NBC down here in the States. I'll be in Pittsburgh on opening weekend for that Sunday afternoon game. Caps, Penguins, I think it's noon Eastern on Sunday. I don't even know what the date is. I'm sorry. It's like a week from this Sunday. So whatever that is, just add your 7 days. But it's going to be, I'm excited about it. And you're right. I mean, and look at, like, for a guy like Chara, right? Like, he thought he could give more and wanted to give more, and hey, things happen. But now in a normal world, you know, he'd only be going back to Boston a couple of times. Now, like you said, back-to-backs, Brian, and 8 times. And, you know, you talk about a guy that's going to be all lathered up, you know. That'll be a lot of fun to see Big Z, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, just like when Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay, right? Wait to see him put on the uniform or whatever. It'll be interesting to see what Big Z looks like in a Capitol sweater. And, you know, they've really improved their defense over the course of the summer. I mean, they had a sneaky good pickup in Trevor Van Riemsdyk on the back end, obviously getting Big Z. You got Carlson there. They got to get Michael Kempney back healthy and playing like he did a couple of years ago when they won the Stanley Cup. I think they're one of those teams that maybe a lot of people aren't talking about. Now, can they get the goaltending from Samsonov? And we know what happened with King Henrik, and certainly hoping he's feeling better. But it'll be interesting. I think Washington could be one of those teams that maybe some people aren't looking at to think that that they could make a serious run. But I think they can when you look at the additions they've made on the back end, because they can score. And in a 56-game schedule, all you got to do is just give yourself a chance and be able to play a little bit better without the puck. And I think if they could get some goaltending there from the young goaltender, then I think the Capitals might be a team you might want to look at and go, they might have an opportunity to make a little run.
Eddie, before we get you out of here, somebody sent me a note saying, ask Eddie how he did with the ponies today. Was there anything cooking today that you were sniffing around on, or was it a quiet day on the pony front?
No. Hey, Old Dog, all I know is that the first time I saw Old Dog run down in New Orleans about maybe 6 weeks ago, Old Dog was in a seven-horse field, and Old Dog finished ninth. And then the horse came back and ran the next time and went wire to wire. So, Old Dog, you got some fans down there in the bayou there.
Horse was named Old Dog?
Old Dog, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Old Dog, and he won his last race. Yeah, it's O and then space and then D-O-G-G. So I don't know if it's Old Dog, but, that's what they...
Let me guess. This thing was lean and mean, and it just flew down the stretch.
Quarter horse.
Old Dog, just so you know, the horse became a gelding recently, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's not the worst. He could live with that. Don't you worry about that, Eddie.
To answer your question, I'm not sure. Somebody must have seen something on a tournament that I was playing in today. So, yes, I had a line from Let It Ride, a great horse racing movie. If you guys are ever bored in a Richard Dreyfuss, Terry Garr type of setting, the name of the movie is Let It Ride. I had a very good day.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. We love to hear that. We always love catching up with you, Eddie. Enjoy the season. We'll chat up, a lot throughout the year. We can't wait for it.
Yeah, you guys do a great job. I always enjoy being on with you guys. Stay safe, healthy, and best of luck to you guys in the new year. And anytime you guys need me, I will be available. So
you got it. We will do that. Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it, buddy. There's Eddie Olchuk from the NHL and NBC. And
tosses out ride. A Brian, you would know this about the old Smythe division. Mm-hmm. Like if you're ever going to throw out the Hayes, like if anything, it was the wrong application of it. Like you wouldn't know anything about the old.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Very
growing
well.
Up in
dude,
Edmonton
you're only 32.
Just like back in the back in the early 80s, mid 80s, Brian, you know this.
You were 3 years old.
Yeah. No, I remember that. He knows that. He knows who he's talking to. He's
dude,
well
you tell me how you were. How old were you in 1985? Tell me that.
I was two years old at that point.
Well so aware what was
Brian,
going on.
You would know this, Brian. No, you wouldn't.
Eddie knows what's up. He wanted to include me. That's very nice of him to do
that.
That's
what it was.
I think he had notes. He's like, one of these days I got to include this clown. Like I keep talking about goaltending and how Noodles, you would know that. The power play, you would know that. The Smythe division in 1985, that's my wheelhouse.
Early 80s, mid-80s, Brian, you know this.
Yep, that's right. I would know
best.
That.
God, did you give a head shake?
So happy.
Damn smile. Right I do. Yep. The viewer was like, hey, maybe Hayes knows about that, and it was just a total
that's all
crock.
You need. It's just a tire-pumping session by Eddie Olchuk. I love it.
I love it. I love it.
You don't get better hockey guests than that character.
Eddie's what awesome. Yeah, he's so much fun to chat. And I like talking ponies. I would talk ponies for 20 minutes straight. With Eddie Olchuk. There's nothing better.
Thursday afternoon, he's sitting around watching ponies at Wegg's.
Yeah.
He goes to Wegg's Chicago and watches the ponies.
Yep, let's it ride. There it is. Look at the horse. There it is. O-Dog, the horse.
We have to get the call, Mals, of O-Dog just cashing in. What does it mean when he goes to gelding or whatever? What does that even mean?
Studding? Is that what it is?
That's what my read on the situation, which I don't think that
gets
would be
paid,
a problem.
Paid per effort.
Yeah, he's putting in effort. Yeah. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So apparently we were just a little bit off with the definition
off.
Of gelding.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's
no.
A real problem. We were way off.
Denutted, I was told.
Yeah, if you go, if you, The studying part seems like it'd be all right. The
it's not studying.
The no, other part
studying
is
out of the picture.
The being neutered the or castrated was. Or however you want to term it.
It's a tough
that's
one.
That's not so good.
No. Old Dog the horse had a tough couple days.
Just
a bit outside.
Yeah, we missed on that one. Just missed the corner on that definition.
Can you imagine if Eddie had heard us, he was still on the horn when we were saying that? Yeah, it's studying. Yeah.
That was what my reaction was like, oh, yeah, that'll be okay. We can live with that. He's probably like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, that wasn't a...
It's not good, eh?
Was it a compliment? No. It's not like the old dog horse is not happy.
No.
He's not in a good headspace.
He ain't running anywhere soon.
No, he's going backwards. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. No Kyrie Irving, no Kevin Durant. I'm on Philly tonight to roll. I like Dallas to cover the number in Denver, and I like Minnesota. It's a big number, but it's at Portland. I'll take Mini tonight. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050Radio. ProLine, it's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. All right, boys. Well, enjoy the evenings. Everyone. Tomorrow it's go time. We're tracking the century, you know, the golf tournament down there in Hawaii. We're tracking that. Super wild card weekend coming up. Al's brother
will
have picks tomorrow. Yep, we got a lot cooking. And before you know it, the NHL is going to be back. I'm certain the Blue Jays are going to snap out of their stupor and do something at some point. I'm certain of that. It's going to happen, I believe. So there you have it. Good show today. Good stuff. Grappler, Mullen, Megan, the whole nine. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.